So, Paige, we are still in the Gospel of Matthew, Your Kingdom Come on Earth, and we're at the Continuity of Scripture class, and we are looking at Where is He Who is Born King of the Jews, and the date is April 18th. Oh, and it's not. Oh, yeah, it's recording. I don't know. My recorder's doing something weird, but that's okay. It looks like it's recording. And I love it. I love it that we can read the account regarding the Magi in Matthew 2, because that's where we are in this lesson, in Matthew 2. We can read this account any time of the year. Any time of the year. Why? Because this account speaks of the big picture of the Bible. Right, guys? It speaks of the big picture of the Bible. And we're all about the big picture of the Bible. Matthew 1. We're going to look at Matthew 1 again and then go right in. We're not reading everything in Matthew 1 because we'll never get out of Matthew 1. But Matthew 1 ends with, and he called his name Jesus. And that's in your handout, first paragraph. And I put in parentheses verse 21 from Matthew 1 because when the angel told Joseph to call his name Jesus, the angel gave him the reason for doing so. For he will save his people from their sins. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but what is a name? Isn't there a poem, what's in a name? Or, you know, whatever. Patty knows it, I know. But a name in the Hebrew scriptures was often an indication of a person's character or for some, regarding some particular quality. So when you think of names for God, for Jesus, is there one name that's adequate? You know what I'm saying? If it takes into account the attributes of this person or their character. No, no. I mean, God, it's been said there's 90 names for God in the Old Testament. 90 names. And I was.
That's why it was a great choice when Moses asked God, what's your name is, I am. That just sort of encompasses everything.
And man, that verse was, well, that's what Kevin mentioned first off, was John 8:58. Yeah. Before Abraham was, I am. But I was thinking about what Patty asked last week, and we're not going to get into it other than I want, by your, that sentence, the first sentence in your handout, names of God, oh my gosh, aside from Isaiah 7:14, he shall be called Emmanuel, we've got Isaiah 9:6. That he shall be called, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6 you can jot down, because he will be Branch, he will be known as the Branch, and that's a messianic title. And his name shall be Jehovah, Our Righteousness, which is an amazing, wonderful verse to use with Jewish people. The Messiah is Jehovah, Our Righteousness. And then Genesis 49:10, Shiloh. We had a Civil War documentary on the other day and other night, and it was about the battle at Shiloh in Tennessee. And I said, that's a messianic title, Shiloh is, and it's from Genesis 49:10. And it was interesting because the History Channel, I guess it came under the History Channel, gave Shiloh a definition. But the Shiloh that we read in Genesis 49:10, same spelling, etc., but it's talking about a person. And it means he whose right it is. And it's talking about Jesus. So,
Kathy, is what you're just saying all that? Is it here?
No, that's why I said take down, but I said it too fast. So I apologize. Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel, Isaiah 9:6, and you can look it up. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then Jeremiah 23:5-6, the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord, our righteousness. And Genesis 49:10 talks about, just write down Shiloh, because that can be a whole nother topic about what that verse talks about. So, but it's so in keeping with the content and the fact that Matthew, as you open the book of Matthew, what's his intent? What is Matthew's intent in writing this gospel? What is he trying to get across to the Jewish people?
Jesus' right of kingship.
Kingship, yes, that Jesus is the king. And so, you know, his name shall be Jesus. It means, what does Jesus mean?
Salvation.
Salvation. Jehovah is salvation. And would the people be impacted? Would the Jewish people be impacted by that? Right after the genealogy is laid out for them. And then in verses 18 to 25 of Matthew 1, twice his name shall be called Jesus. God is salvation. And I looked up a verse, just jot down if you want to look it up in your study time. It's Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. We sing that song too. For Yah, which means Jehovah, the Lord, Jehovah, and God is in here too, Elohim. So God is mentioned three times, and yet really more so in that he is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. And I looked it up in the Tanakh, and I've got Hebrew English version of the Tanakh. And when I went to Isaiah 12:2, it's so cool to see El, you know, Elohim, and it talks about I am there, and it says is my deliverer. For deliverer, it's Yeshua, because deliverer can be also known as salvation, is my salvation, just like I read before. God is my salvation. And you see it written out. And how do you see it written out? Oh, it's in your handout. Yep, right there. That's how Yeshua looks in the Hebrew. So just to circle that and check out if you have a Hebrew scripture in Hebrew, check it out. Diane?
One thing I noticed in the Tanakh and the JPS, the Jewish. Anyway, a lot of times where you have Yeshua or salvation, check it out. I don't have it with me right now. I'll bring it next week. But a lot of times they'll put triumph. They will not use the word salvation.
I did see that. I saw that. Yeah, even in her. Yeah. But yet, in the Tanakh that I have in the Hebrew, it did say triumph in English. And when I looked across the line, it was Yeshua in the Hebrew that was written out for triumph. Because it goes in league with what our English Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. And they put triumph in the English side, but it was still Yeshua on the Hebrew side. Anyway, yeah, just some tips. Okay, so Matthew ends, Matthew 1 ends with, and he called his name Jesus. And let's just look at Matthew 1 from that point. Where do I want to take it? Then Joseph, look at verse 24 of Matthew 1. Then Joseph being aroused from sleep. No, I don't want to go there. I always do this to you guys. I'm sorry. Go to verse 18, and then we'll skip to verse 24. Verse 18 of Matthew 1 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. And then it says, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and you know what happened. Joseph found, you know, knew that she was with child. It wasn't his child. Would he put her away secretly, or what was he going to do? An angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and says, for that which is conceived in her, and this is verse 20, is of the Holy Spirit, like I just said, and you will call his name Jesus. So go down to verse 24. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Then you drop down to chapter 2. Verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And you're saying, what? What? We just read in verse 18 of Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this way. And you might think, I don't know about you, but I didn't read anything about the shepherds. I didn't read about no room in the inn. I didn't read about them having the baby and putting the baby in the manger. And what's going on here? Well, I'm going to go back to what was Matthew's purpose in writing? King, that he would come as king. And it's so, this chapter is amazing. Again, part of the big picture that we're going to look at, especially in this month of April. And it's going to all fit, even though you might not think it's exactly in sync at this time. But it is, most definitely. But then some of you might be thinking, well, what about the shepherds? You know, my nativity set has shepherds in it. And I don't like when we rearrange the Christmas story. We're reading it from the Bible. Who's rearranging the Christmas story, okay? So, and how some people of you might be thinking, all right, what's the time frame? It says after the birth, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And it's talking about Judea specifically because there were two Bethlehems, remember, in Israel. There was the Bethlehem by the Galilee area, and that's found in Joshua 19:15. Okay, I didn't write that down in the handout. And then there's the Bethlehem in Judea, which is what we're talking about, where Jesus did come into the world in the Bethlehem, at the Bethlehem in Judea. So, but how long after Jesus was born doesn't tell us right here at the outset. It does tell us into the chapter. And very interesting. So let's read on and think how, I love to think how Jewish people would think if they were reading this. And how did the Jewish people think in that day? How were they impacted when all this was happening? And Kevin was getting a little bit into that when he was talking about the miracles that Jesus performed in front of so many. But again, it's the Holy Spirit's work and him removing blinders, not only on Jewish people's eyes, but Gentiles' eyes as well. And let's look at in the days of Herod the king. What if a Jewish person read that, in the days of Herod the king? And we need to know that Matthew wrote around 50 AD. Okay, so they're reading this manuscript. Isn't it amazing that the manuscript has remained, along with so many, like all of the manuscripts, and nobody contested it? It still gives us the true document, God's word. So, but in the days of Herod the king, the passage mentions Herod the king. Why? Do you have Herod the king in your nativity set?
No.
Oh, okay. But in reading Herod the king, what do you think of?
Him killing the babies.
Him killing the babies. So, we're thinking conflict with Herod the king. And big time, the Jews would have thought conflict because this guy wasn't even Jewish. And he's called Herod, the king of the Jews. And that would stir up some feelings of angst and anger. And
the Jewish, like, province or something?
Say that again, Patty.
Like, was he king of, like, the Jewish...
He was king of the Jews. He was in Judea. What does that mean? Well, that's a good question. Well, think of Solomon. Was he the king of the Jews? Yeah. Think of David, king of the Jews, right? Think of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, all those five. And, of course, then... Israel was then divided after Solomon, so you had the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judea. So Herod's hanging around Judea, and the Romans put him in as a puppet king.
So that's his title.
That's
Rome.
His title, yeah. But just, we're going to read about him, and it's just going to be, we're building. What are you thinking, how this is coming through to the Jewish people, David?
Well, politically, when the Romans came to help the Jews run out the Seleucidians,
who were the Hasmoneans?
Who was that?
Antiochus Epiphanes.
Antiochus, who desecrated the temple, and the Maccabees came and ran them out. Then they appealed to Rome for help to keep them out, and Rome had not come in that far, and they came down, and they were like allies. at that point in time.
The Jews
and the Jews and the Romans.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so for political appearances' sake, the Romans did not want to cause a revolution by saying, we're taking over your country and you no longer have a king. They picked a guy who was not even a Jew, Herod, and said, how about Herod? And the people in Jerusalem said, fine. So that's how that got started. Okay. It was all a political maneuver by the Romans to have real control, but apparent for face saving for the Jewish people to have a king that had absolutely no power.
Now, that's interesting. No, thank you for sharing that, David, because this is all what led up to all the happenings of the day, the political atmosphere. And we talked about this in the very beginning of going through Matthew. We're not that far from that very beginning. But isn't it interesting when you said, and the Jews said, okay, we'll have Herod as king. That's because, too, and of course, you've taught about this, the Hellenization had started already. The Greek philosophy had come into play during Alexander the Great's time. So Antiochus Epiphanes was attempting to Hellenize the Jews. So everything was mishmash. It truly was. And it was not the Old Testament. The world that Jesus came into was not the Old Testament world of the patriarchs, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that led into it. And Rome was a conquering country. So, Richard?
Yeah, Julius Caesar himself set up Herod after the battle with Pompey. When he was the sole guy, he set up Herod. And he's had his...
And Herod was a very mild-mannered man. No, he was a madman. You didn't breathe in a different way when you came into his presence because he would do away with you. He murdered his family members. So talking about Herod, I'm just building this up because what we're going to see happen, and you've read this passage many times before, that it was a danger zone. In fact, let's go forward into chapter 2. Now, after, we'll start again in verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and people are getting jittery over this, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he, huh? Yeah, all three wise men. I have that. There were not three. There were not three. The text does not say there were three. Why do we sing? That's what we should ask. Why do we sing, we three kings of Orient are? Ask the... They had three gifts. But isn't it... But that song doesn't come across as just the three gifts. It's, the three wise men. They would have been... wild beast bait coming across the wilderness from Persia, Babylon area.
Mary said, next time don't bring the myrrh.
Don't bring gold. Don't get... Oh, I see. Oh.
That goes back to an old Monty Python movie.
Oh, does it? Oh, I'm not into Monty Python, but my family is. So where is he? Okay, look at verse 2. Here are the wise men from the east. They're known to be from the east. And they're asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Now, really, they should have remembered some prophecies, the Jewish people. Can you think of one prophecy?
Daniel, of course. Daniel.
Yeah. But, in this case, I'm thinking... I'm thinking more of what Balaam prophesied when the Holy Spirit directed him to prophesy. It's in Numbers 24:17. A star shall come forth out of Jacob. Is that what you were talking about? And a scepter. So looking at the star and the scepter as the him, a person. So, and we have come, and they came to worship him. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and that Greek word for troubled means agitated, like a washing machine, how that is agitated. And then it says, and all Jerusalem with him. Yeah, I can imagine. And when he had gathered, this is Herod. Did I miss something here? Wait a minute, saying that, 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 that. Yeah, look at, go back to the beginning of verse 2. Because this, I never really realized this before. But here these wise men are coming, and they're saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They don't go to Herod first. It seems like they're milling around Jerusalem. And then they're asking people, the common people, where is he who is born king of the Jews? Which makes it more tenuous for the people in terms of what Herod is thinking and what he's going to do. So let's just end right there at the end of verse 3. So you get the picture of what's happening. It's not peace. Patty?
Okay, they saw the star in the east. Now, we always think that the star guided them. So what the star really
it
wasn't?
It doesn't say the star guided them. They knew where to go, Jerusalem.
We're going to get to the star in a bit, but but that's true. How many times have we seen Christmas animated stories, you know, then dramatic stories with real people where they're talking about the star leading? Where does it say that the star led? Doesn't say. This chapter has been, wow, mutilated by so many.
Dramatized.
What works? What will speak to people most? You know.
I think the point is that they were looking for the king of the Jews, and it was not Herod.
Yeah. And the answer is going to be in what Richard just mentioned before, Daniel, the book of Daniel. So we're going to get there. They were definitely looking for the king of the Jews. So let's go on. So here, my question is, how are the Magi connected to the Jewish Messiah? I'll ask it in a different way. David.
The key is in their question. Where is he who was born king of the Jews? Herod was not born king of the Jews.
Well, that's why he was agitated.
Yeah. And he said, how could there be one born king of the Jews? That's what he's going after.
Right, right. And that's why he asked the scribes and the Pharisees to bring out, or the scribes to bring out the Bible.
It's in the details, right, in the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's the operative word in their question, born king of the Jews. So, but again, my question remains, how are the Magi connected to the Jewish Messiah? These Magi, they traveled. I wanted to find out the miles that they traveled, and every time I went on a search engine to look, it gave me something different. So they either traveled 1,081.2 miles or 1,421 miles or 1,678.2 miles.
So Oklahoma City's 1,000 miles, or from here to Memphis, Tennessee is 1,500 miles.
Just okay. And how would it be if we went to Memphis, Tennessee on a camel?
That's an
Oy Vey. Doris says, yeah.
That's a good answer. That's an Oy Vey.
What, Patty?
Well, were they going through a desert with no water supply?
If you look at ancient trade routes, they didn't go straight, as geometry would say, you know, shortest distance between two points in a straight line. They went north because the rivers, the Tigris, Euphrates, whichever, or both, they were north, so there were water sources.
Yeah, and there was a trade route established already. But three men, you know, even still, it was dangerous.
They'd have been robbed on the first day.
Yeah, they had an entourage, most definitely. So, born king of the Jews, you know that's not the question to ask Herod, because Herod doesn't have any credentials to be king of the Jews.
You asked how are the Magi connected with the Jewish people. If I'm not
mistaken, Jewish Messiah. How are they connected with the Jewish Messiah?
Oh, I was going to answer this.
Oh, okay, answer the other one, because that's
I was going to say, I think that they are some of the descendants of the formerly exiled Jewish people that knew, like somebody mentioned over here, some of Daniel's prophecies. And so the kingmakers knew that there was going to be a king made, so to speak, around this particular time in this particular area, and they saw the star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Daniel was alive. He was in charge of them. He was ahead.
That's the big. That's the big quality. Yeah. Go to Daniel 2:41, because here the Jews were from the southern kingdom, Judah, were in exile in Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. And he's very disturbed. He wants the interpretation for the dream, but he wants the Magi to tell him what the dream was. He says, you're not just giving me the interpretation. I want you to tell me what I dreamed. So he was qualifying their expertise, so to speak. And they couldn't. The Magi could not do so. So
Daniel
2, don't, and I said 41, just start at the beginning of 2. So the Magi get into hot water with Nebuchadnezzar, and so does Daniel. He gets into hot water. And look at verse 10 of Daniel 2. The Chaldeans, who are the Babylonians, answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. Verse 12. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill him. Look at verse 16. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Verse 19, and the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And so he tells the king, this is what you dreamt. This is what it means. And when you turn to, I said 41, and that's not correct. It's 48. Daniel 2:48. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. That is huge. Daniel, who wrote the book of Daniel, right, is a book about the Messiah, and in his 70-week prophecy, he lays out the time frame for when the Messiah would appear. And Rob, you said, because the Magi, they weren't even kings. Nix that from that song. We three kings of Orient are not so. They were kingmakers. Okay, their Persian king had just been dethroned, and they remembered from their lineage past, you know, as it was told to them down through the ages, that the Messiah would come after the Jews came back into the land, and etc., etc. Read Daniel 9:24-27. So here they come looking for this one who they knew was born, would be born king of the Jews because of Daniel. Isn't that amazing? So it's so important, big picture, to know what God had been doing in setting the stage for the plan of redemption and Jesus being the Redeemer. So the wise men are telling people, we have seen his star in the east. Why his star? We'll look at it in a moment. But I told you about Numbers 24:17, and that is in your handout, I think, about the prophecy of Balaam. It says, I see him, but not now. This is what Balaam, who was a false prophet, but we read that the Holy Spirit came upon Balaam. We read it in Numbers 24, and this is what he spoke forth. I behold him, meaning this one who would be ruler, he would be a king, and he would be considered star. There would be a blazing, there would be a shining. Star and scepter, one and the same. And then here they are, these wise men. It just makes me smile. They came to worship him. They just didn't come to choose him as their king. They came to worship him. How of God is that? So Matthew 2 while it might seem totally out of sync because of what we have learned as traditions, we three kings of Orient are, you know, and et cetera, is totally in sync because God had told the Jewish people, which I mentioned before when I was talking about some prayer requests that I had had asked prayer for, that God chose the Jewish people to share the truth of the one true God with the Gentiles. And this rounds it out here. The shepherds came to see the babe in the manger, who was the lamb, so to speak, and Jesus was that lamb of God at his first coming. And here the wise men come to find the one who would be born king of the Jews, underscoring king. And when will he be king? And this is the reason why we sang Joy to the World. At the millennial kingdom, in the millennial kingdom. So, questions? I know Patty has a question about the star, and we're going to get to that. And we're
29, it talks about the star.
No, I just feel bad, all the bad teaching I've done.
I know that it says that they follow the star.
Well, you know what? It pays to really dig in and ask questions, and if people, I say ask questions about everything, especially when we know that there are a lot of voices out there. And let's go back to Matthew 2, because this lesson will be done today.
What was the Numbers verse? Numbers 23 something?
No, Numbers 24:17.
24:17, thank you.
Matthew 2, and Sharon is telling me it's verse 9, but let's just see what we have to read to move it up to 9. Okay, so Herod looks at him asking what is written about this Messiah in the prophets, and that portion of Micah 5:2 is read, and then verse 7 says, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined — that word determined is interesting and it's important — from them what time the star appeared. Because Patty, you know, backing up what you have said, I have read some scholars, biblical scholars, that I really appreciate. Nowhere did they say, in talking about this passage, that the wise men were connected, that their ancestors were connected with Daniel. That's a huge part of why did these people come. I mean, we got to always be asking why. What led up to this? Why are we reading this? And then the thing about, you know, the star in the east. Hey, I thought that. I thought three kings, and I wasn't thinking just the gifts, and that the star just guided them along. But Herod determined what time the star appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. I'm in verse 8. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. He just said it probably like that, right? Sugary sweet. Yeah, right. When, verse 9, they heard the king, they departed, and behold, I love that word. That says something right there. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I mean, if this star was leading you all the way, I don't think it would say, behold. And I don't think it would say, they rejoiced that there it was again. David?
Okay, detail number 2. They were in the east, traveling to the west. They could not follow a star in the east. The star was in the east to lead them to a point in the west. So you have to take that out of your mind. The star was leading them, but it wasn't in the east. They
right.
were in the east,
right.
And they came west.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the star they had seen when they were in the east. And we're going to use that moving ahead as to what that star was. So, and look at the verbiage in verse 9. The star which they had seen in the east, while they were in the east, went before them till it came. Again, this is just happening as they're leaving Jerusalem at this point.
Following the
This is, that's the only point.
After they saw Herod.
After they saw Herod. Right, right. But it went before them. It went, the star that they had seen in the east went before them. I was reading that 10 years ago, and I thought, whoa, went before them. And I thought of Exodus 13:21. So turn to Exodus 13:21. And this is when the Jewish people were delivered from Egypt at that first Passover in Egypt, and it's talking about the journey, the route of that they took out of Egypt. And verse 21 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night." And that's how God continued to lead them throughout the 40 years in the wilderness before they came to the land of promise. So went before them. God went before them. And as he appeared as the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, what do we call that?
Shekinah glory.
Yeah, we do say Shekinah glory. And you know that that Shekinah isn't even in the Bible.
No.
That's a rabbinic term. Believe me, I was looking all over for it in the Bible one night, and then I read it's from the rabbis, but it comes from the Hebrew word shachan, which means to dwell. And when you think of the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, it dwelled in the tabernacle. I mean, it's all... Yeah. And God's desire was to dwell with the Jewish people. So that fits. But that went before them. That's a manifestation of who God is. The manifestation of his very presence. And that's what I believe that lit the sky around Bethlehem when the angels came to speak to the shepherds, when that one angel gave the message to the shepherds, and then the sky was filled with the angels, and it says the glory of God appeared. And I believe that that is what the wise men, the magi, saw when they were in the east, the glory of God. So some people might think that, how can you see the glory of God 1,800 whatever miles away? Well, if you go to Revelation and you see that at the end of Revelation, it's 21 and 22, we're going to have the New Jerusalem descending, right? And it's going to be massive, like 2 million square miles, I think it equates to. That's why I was just looking at some.
378 miles long, wide, and high.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, because the gates are that high, and that it's a cube, right, Diane?
Are there any? Well, I know we're starting the Bible, but like this glory of God, this fabulous star, the Magi saw, and you related that to the pillar. The pillar was the
pillar of cloud and fire.
I mean, how does anybody not believe that this isn't God? The whole generation died in the desert because of unbelief.
I know.
When these, you've got a physical manifestation right there in front of you. So I'm just wondering, like this star, is there outside the Bible,
extra biblical information about it?
About a star, about the star, this star, that, would you know that? At that time, this was a fabulous manifestation.
I haven't looked up anything about it, although there is something that has been presented, the Star of Bethlehem, right? There's a YouTube on it or a film on it, and I wasn't in agreement with some of the stuff.
Okay, but so we only have this is good. It's the Bible. But I was just wondering, since it was so fabulous.
Right, but you know what's interesting too, Diane, in answering your question, sort of, is do you find Herod running to go find this king of the Jews? Do you see the scribes who pulled out the prophecy? Do you see them leaving? Do you see, when you read about the glory of God shining when the shepherds were told the message, do you see, and all all the inhabitants of Bethlehem spilled out. You know, the light was so bright it was disturbing their sleep. They had to wear masks. And but you don't read that. No, because there's a selective feature, you know. And the pillar of cloud, and when you go to Exodus 14, verse 19, you see the pillar of cloud and fire gave light to the Jewish people and gave darkness to the Egyptians. Check out Exodus 14, verses 19 to 20. But go into the New Jerusalem and what is going to happen in that place, many things. But in Revelation 21, verse 22, John says, "But I saw no temple," in the vision that he was given, "in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." And this, like I said, is about 2 million square miles that they have figured out for the New Jerusalem. Then it says, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it." So I'm sure I then could say, yeah, the Magi saw that shining 1,800 some odd miles away. If it could be seen, you know, in 2 million square New Jerusalem, it's just glorious. Oh my gosh. What a privilege we have to open the Word of God and to learn these things and to share with others that don't know. And you might get pushback, but you just never know how God is stirring them, how God is working. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. One day we'll get to hear their testimony. Mm-hmm. You mean the Magi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the shepherds,
oh, totally.
Too. Yeah, all of them.
What was
yeah, I mean, heaven ain't going to be boring. And you know, when we say we're going to heaven, we're going to heaven. Yeah, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when Jesus physically returns at his second coming, we're going to be on earth for 1,000 years when he's ruling and reigning. And then after that, the New Jerusalem. So I remember Jamie saying something, and I would have to pick his brain to ask him. When he first came, he said, heaven is really like a misnomer. Now, I don't know what he meant, but my mind went immediately to, we say heaven, but there's the millennial kingdom, and there's New Jerusalem, where we'll be forever. That's the eternal state. Oh, wow. It blows my mind. It's hard to comprehend. Let me get to what of the star, and you've got that in your handout and in the minute we have left. So what was shining in the sky when the angel announced the Messiah to the shepherds? I believe it was the star is the glory of God. And it's just remarkable. Because if that star, Patty, if it was a regular star, and it came down to where they found the child in the house. The Magi didn't find a baby in the manger. Found the child in the house. And that star showed them where it was. It would have burned up. The house would have burned up if it was a star, a physical star. So the word for star can mean an actual star. It can also, it means a burning or a blazing. And it fits for the glory of God. So we see that they gave him gifts, which all speak to the Messiah. Gold speaks to his being king. Frankincense speaks to him, being a priest, because the priests would put frankincense on the coals that were in the incense altar before the Holy of Holies. And then myrrh speaks to embalming. They use myrrh for embalming, so the Messiah would die. He would come as a suffering servant. And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country. Another way. I'm not going to get to the point where I wanted to, but we're going to start off with verse 13 next week in Matthew 2. But truly, truly, I do believe that this was the glory of God.
Now, there's a clue in there.
How long
it took the Magi.
Well, I don't want to go there. That's where I was going to go, but I don't want to go there yet, because that'll be next week.
Okay.
But it pays to read real, not skim, but to read word for word. So any questions before we bid adieu? So you see this as the, here is, we have the Christmas account, shepherds talking about Jesus' first coming, magi talking about his second coming, because that's when he'll be king. Oh. Well, because he came as a suffering servant, he was a lamb. He would be the ultimate sacrifice as the Lamb of God. And the Magi going to Jerusalem first, I mean, that's a clue right off the bat. There's so many clues in this passage. Right off the bat. So, God, we thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, that the peace that Jesus, you will definitely bring on this earth when you return, your physical second coming. Father, we thank you that that peace is offered to us. Lord, we pray that as we go through this week, this day, into tomorrow, that you would give us peace and comfort in you, and Lord, that would truly be a testimony to others. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.